This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanisen with Noel Lim in the studio this morning. And let's talk about youth in politics. Earlier this week, a report by CNA said that MOA MP YB Said Sadiq Abdul Rahman was setting up a youth party. Now, many have been speculating about what would be his next move, since he was notably absent from the launch of Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad's new party, Pejuang. The role of youth politics has certainly been a subject of much conversation in the past year, especially following the lowering of the voting age last year.
Yeah, so I think with this lowering of voting age, we're going to see a huge proportion of younger voters coming on stream. And also the success of Parliament Digital this year, I think that got received a lot of good feedback. I think really the big question for us is, a party that's led by young people, can they carve out a space for themselves in the Malaysian political scene?
And even if it's not a party, what about a movement, right? A cross-party movement? That's something to pay attention to. We were running a poll on Twitter right now. Is there enough broad-based support for a youth party? Let us know what you think over on Twitter. Right now, 68% said yes, we need new faces. 7% no, age doesn't matter. And 21% say not sure, need more info. For more insights into this, we speak to Tama Pillai, co-founder of Undi 18, the Undi 18 movement. Tama, thank you for joining us now. What do you think about a youth party? Would it be able to address that? What would it be able to address that a regular political party has not been able to via the youth wing, for example?
I think the biggest thing is the culture of seniority. Because one of the big issues is that in Malaysia, we consider young people to be up to 40 years old. In many parties across Malaysia, you're still a youth at 45. In some cases, even 47, 49 years old, you're still considered a youth leader, which means that the threshold for achieving senior levels in politics is extremely high, which means that within a traditional political party, for you to even be a party decision maker, for you to influence the kind of policies of the party, for example, the election manifesto, it's so difficult for you to climb up. You need 10, 20, 30 years of contributing within the party before you're able to make that decision. By that time, you're not a young person anymore. You're not a youth anymore. So I think one thing that it will be able to address is the culture of seniority. It allows young people to immediately be at the position of a decision maker in the party, set the stance of the party, and you're able to communicate with the public about what are some priorities of the party and also of the young generation as a whole. And I think that's something that's quite important.
People have pointed out that a youth-led party would face several challenges, like not being taken seriously or perhaps being less able to raise money. Are these views reasonable?
I think those are challenges that all political parties face. A lot of parties like Parti Socialist, PPP, IMP, and I can name so many other parties right now that are struggling for relevance and struggling for finances, right? So firstly, that's not a unique problem, but secondly is that I think with a youth party, especially the one that's proposed by Said Sadiq, you have Said Sadiq. That might be a game-changing factor just because he's a very familiar face. People know him. He's quite popular. He understands how to utilize social media to push his messaging. I think these are factors that might make his party more relevant and grow a supporter base. But again, I'm not too sure in terms of the electoral success, right? Because it depends on which are the areas that he'll be in, which are the, you know, what is the election strategy, what is the ideology that he's pushing for. So these are things that I'm not too sure yet. But just from a basis, just from a surface level, if there was a party started by Said Sadiq, a youth party, he at least has that good start of being led by Said Sadiq.
Now, youth parties existed before this, but were never at the forefront in the public space. But former youth minister Said Sadiq is fronting this party, as you've mentioned. So is that what counts? Personality over what the party believes in?
I think this is the unfortunate part about Malaysian politics. It's often about the leaders, and it's sort of, in a way, a cult of personality, instead of what is the exact policies and what are the exact stances by this party. There are so many examples in the past. Anwar Ibrahim, how he literally read the Reformasi movement. You look at Lim Kit Siang, how he led the DAP from wilderness into government eventually. Right. So these are basically political leaders that have a lot of credibility to them. Also with PAS, you have Toguru Nik Aziz in the past. Right. So essentially, parties and movements are built around individuals. So it could definitely be that that Said Sadiq's popularity right now might be a big differentiating factor that will help his party go forward. But again, as I mentioned, I'm not too sure about the extent of its electoral success. But I do think that rhetorically and in terms of social media popularity, I certainly think that his party will resonate with a lot of Malaysians out there.
Popularity aside, how can new entrants like Syed Saddiq's party safeguard against political patronage?
Honestly, that's my concern too, because I've seen far too many people enter politics to so-called clean things up from the inside. And then you see them a couple of years later and they've lost the idealism and they just become establishment supporters. They're justifying status quo. They're saying that this is how things are, right? You've even in the past couple of weeks, you've seen how young leaders, leaders under 40 years old, under 35 years old, have been proudly going around, giving out surat sokongan or accepting or using surat sokongan to gain certain positions within GLCs or boards of directorships. So you can see even young people have perpetuated this toxic culture of political patronage. So how do we safeguard against that? Honestly, I wish I had had a clear answer for that, because fundamentally that we have a lot of things that's problematic with our system, and we do need a systemic reform in terms of political financing, in terms of how things are run, etc. But as individuals, I think the important thing is to understand and to identify what are you in this for, right? What is your sense of idealism in terms of what you want to achieve for the country, for society, and also for yourself as an individual, right? And I think as long as people don't lose sight of that idealism, as long as you keep reminding yourself and you keep reflecting on your actions and your thoughts and your perspectives, I think that at least keeps yourself in check to make sure that you're on the right path. But it's not something that's easy, unfortunately.
Some good sentiments there, Atharva, but political representation of youth isn't the end-all be-all, though. What are some other ways that Undi 18 would like to see the youth agenda being pursued?
Well, firstly, I think it's important to talk about what is the youth agenda, because it's such a big term, I would say. In my perspective, I think the youth agenda is to find better jobs, better wages, to build a better country and to have a better life, right? It's really about bread and butter. It's really about having a better family. It's really about those simple things in life. And I think this is something that resonates with everyone out there. But I think the challenge is that a lot of older politicians don't see this, and their concerns might be different. Their concerns in terms of how we see the system might be different. And I think that's where youth representation comes into play. However, if there is a way for us to push for this agenda, to improve bread and butter issues, to create systemic reforms for young Malaysians to live a better life, I think that's a real definition of a youth agenda. So it does not necessarily have to be a young person pushing for it. Older politicians and older leaders can also push for good policies. So I think that's perhaps one definition or one way to look at the youth agenda.
Thank you for joining us this morning, Tharma. That was Tharma Pillay of Undi 18, giving us his view on, I guess, what a youth movement would be. And I think that's the important point he's hit, right? What exactly is the youth agenda? We've got jobs are a big part of that, but also things like the future, right? That's essentially, I know it sounds cliched, but it does come down to that.
Yeah, I think the youth agenda, the big picture here is really how can you start to change the course of the country, right? And it cannot be business as usual. So I think for Syed Saddiq's point of view, perhaps he will have to continue to build up his personal credibility. After all, politics is a marathon, right? And Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim can tell you that for sure. So I think Syed Saddiq will also have to surround himself with good, honest professionals. In the GE15, he may not make much impact from an electoral point of view, but I think one thing certain, he will make young people more engaged politically.
I think that's very important. It's the political engagement. It may not nothing may materialize in the next election, the one after that. But what about 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road? How do we get this generation engaged in politics and continuously engaged, right? We don't want them to, when you had GE 13 and that time was, I think, Pakatan Rakyat at that point, they didn't win. There was a lot of disenfranchising. I'm sorry, I've lost the word. But essentially, that was a disappointment, right? But that doesn't kill a movement. And we've got a poll. On the poll, one comment that I particularly like here is the youth may not be 100% of the population, but 100% of the future belongs to them. Let them lead and be heard. Our politics and politicians are getting old, too old. And this is from Inchek FR on Twitter. I think very, very nicely encapsulating the situation.
Yeah, so I definitely would like to see the youth having more voice, right? It is about their future that they need to talk about.
Yeah, and one particular thing I think we started on this note was he pointed out the culture of seniority. So I'm going to coin a term today, Noel, seniority inflation. I think that's something we're seeing, right?
It's, yes.
I mean, we've got youth chiefs at 45 and 47 years old. Is that youth anymore?
And then with life being prolonged, yeah, senior inflation, I agree with you.
This is something, you heard it here first, unless someone else coined it, then let me know on Twitter that I'm wrong. But this is something that, it's the cult of the personality, it's the culture of seniority. This is the walled garden around politics, right? And most of these politicians, from the personalities that we know, whether it's Tun Mahathir or even Anwar Ibrahim, have spent the last 20, 30, 40 years of their lives in politics. I think they started in the 80s when they were in their 20s. So that's the journey, right? That's what young people today have to realize. It's not going to be, you're not going to necessarily be leading the charge.
Yes, and get what you want now.
And on that note, though, let us know, the poll is still running, so let us know what you think and comment on Twitter there. Is there enough broad-based support for a youth party? 68% say yes, we need new faces. 8% say no, age doesn't matter. And 19% say they're not sure, they need more information. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.